The word today is armor. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. There is a spiritual war going on between God and Satan, and we are part of the battle. But God has promised us that He will never leave us. He has also promised us a suit of armor, which is described in Ephesians chapter 6. Here to review the individual pieces is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Armor.
The armor of God is one of the most important chapters of the Bible, and we read about it in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. If you've ever been to England, for instance, and you've been to the museums that are out by the tower there, and you see the suits of armor, boy, they were really something. You wondered how a soldier could even march around in them. Usually, they were so heavy and so thoroughly thick that you could hardly be wounded. And then on top of that, you had to carry a shield and a sword. And I think when the children are shown a suit of armor, they begin to understand Ephesians 6 a little bit better. We know we have an enemy, and the devil is a tricky enemy. You know, he doesn't always reveal himself in combat clothing. You know, once in a while, you can see something so hideous and so mean and so wrong and so much against God's will. I think, for instance, here, a simple explanation of that would be like pornography, where you can tell immediately this is wrong, this is not pleasing to God, this is not God's will. And as a result, you can flee it and get out of the way of it and stay clear of it. But once in a while, the devil is pretty tricky. He can make something very bad appear to be very good. I think he does that a lot with teenagers. He makes it seem as though the world is having a lot of fun with the use of sex, let's say, as an example. And maybe the teenager thinks, well, wouldn't it be nice if I could do those sexual things, if I could make love and if I could kiss and do all that, and it would be wonderful and pleasant. And because I'm a Christian, I'm told by God that I shouldn't do those things unless I'm married. I shouldn't have intercourse unless I'm married and so on. And it should be with the person that I'm married to. It shouldn't be with just anybody. And so I wonder if maybe the devil tries to make it look very appealing, and so it would be very exciting and very nice. And so Satan comes in a disguise. As a matter of fact, the scriptures talk about that. It says, even if the devil comes and appears to be an angel of light, as though he's just so wonderful and so pure and so nice, even then we ought to be able to spot him and see him coming a distance off and realizing that he is going to trick us and try to get us to fall. Now, the armor that we were talking about here in Ephesians 6 is to protect us against the subtleties of the devil when he tries to make something look as though it's good when in reality it's evil. I think our culture has done this with a lot of things. Instead of talking about the murder of abortion as an example, it talks about choice and makes it sound so nice and so simple. Or, you know, there are all kinds of sins. Instead of calling someone a drunkard, we will say, well, they have a drinking ailment or problem, you know. And we try to make things sound a little bit better than if we'd point out their disgraceful sin. I think gossiping, for instance, is an illustration of this. Instead of saying, well, they're just talking about somebody, we should call it what it is. They're gossiping and they're maligning the person. They are going against one of God's commandments where he says that we are to protect the reputation of our neighbors and speak well of them and not abuse them. Well, you get the point. The world likes to make things appear as though not quite as bad. He's not quite telling the truth. Instead of saying he's a liar. and pointing it right out. This is against God's will. Now, all of this is what we are given the armor for, to protect ourselves against it. Let's look at some of those pieces of armor. Now, one of the things in verse 14 of Ephesians 6, it says, put on the truth, the belt of truth. Now, you got to have something to hitch up the garment with and to tighten it around your waist so it stays in place. And carry the breastplate of righteousness. Keep it in place. Now, of course, the more dangerous place you can be hurt is in your heart. And so you carry a big enough shield that can protect yourself. You hold it in front of you. You're not afraid of an enemy sneaking up from behind you necessarily. You keep turning around just to double check that, of course, but you're going marching toward the front, and you're going to protect yourself by watching if any enemy is trying to sneak around a bush or a tree or something is going to come at you. You immediately know this. Put your shield up in front of you to protect your head, protect your chest and your heart from any sword or any arrow that is fired at you. And so it says, protect your heart. Be prepared. He commands you and provides you with this blessing of his shield, the breastplate of righteousness, and God's will and God's word. Then have your feet fitted. You know, very few things are as bad as stumbling around in a pair of shoes or slippers that doesn't fit you. Can you imagine how clumsy that would be if you're a little kid and you're walking around and you have a size 3 foot and you got a size 10 shoe on? You wouldn't get anywhere. You'd fall flat on your face. So have it properly fitted so that it fits you, so that you can move quickly and you can stop quickly and you can go to the right or to the left. It says, have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace as you are telling others about Jesus and as you are telling others how to be saved, that there is one Savior, that he died on the cross to take your sins away, and that through his forgiveness you have the promise of eternal life with him in heaven. Have it ready on the tip of your tongue, so to speak, to tell people. Whenever they're ready to listen, whenever they're ready to ask any question, be there and have your feet fitted properly so that you can move and carry that message to the world. Now, it says in verse 16 that there are flaming arrows going to be coming at you, and you should take up that shield that we were talking about, the shield which is faith, faith in God, the true God, the one and only true God, and extinguish those arrows that Satan is firing at you. I can remember a time when I was going through the jungle in New Guinea with a missionary, and we were walking to a village, and all of a sudden we came across a war party. Fortunately, he knew the language, and he could speak to the leaders, and they recognized that he knew the language and was one of the missionaries, and so they stopped. They didn't even throw a single spear at us, but had they, possibly we could have ducked and missed them. Not too many people are killed that way because they jump out of the way or they move or they run, and a running target is a little bit harder to hit with a wooden spear like that. But at any rate, he made peace and they allowed us to pass, so no one was injured. But I'll tell you, it's a frightening thing when someone's holding a spear ready to throw at you, or bow and arrow with an arrow. Verse 16 is the one with the shield of faith and the flaming arrows. Now verse 17, the helmet of salvation. I love this reference that the helmet is called salvation. I guess the reason I love that is that I know how very important the head is. You can go into battle with an arm cut off, and you could maybe still get something done, or a leg cut off, but you cannot go into battle anymore once your head is cut off. That's serious. That's major. And so you want to be careful. You know, I can kind of picture somebody in a battle getting hot in their armor and thinking, if I could just find a tree, let me duck behind a bush or a tree, and let me just take my helmet off just for a minute, just for a few seconds, and get a breath of fresh air. Well, how dangerous that can be. because just then that fast a sword can clip your head off or an arrow can be shot through the air toward your head. And so it's very stupid to not protect your head. And that's why it calls the head salvation. That's the main thing. If you don't have salvation, there's no point to the fight at all. You're already lost if you don't have salvation. And so it speaks of the head, the main part of being salvation. You must be saved to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you're not going to get anywhere in this battle. And he equips you with the helmet of salvation. He gives you faith so that you will follow him and stay with him. Now, all of these marvelous things, and then it kind of closes that section, verse 18, talking about prayer, and all of the things that you would do as a child of God, that you are going to be dressed completely to protect yourself from the enemy and the enemy forces. You know, the devil uses sometimes even our friends to tempt us. He's tricky. He really is, and we have to be aware of that and spot him. Be on the alert, watching for him so that we can protect ourselves against his temptations. So God has brought you into his kingdom by converting you. The Holy Spirit has brought you to faith. You believe personally in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And now, because there's a battle going on between Christ and Satan, between God and the devil, now that battle requires you to have a uniform, a warring uniform, an armor that you can defend yourself. Read about this in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and prepare yourself for that battle. God himself will be with you, and he will not only equip you, he will stay with you, and he will defend you and care for you. Take a look at the Psalms that we looked at last week again, and remind yourself that God will never leave you or forsake you. May God bless you in your daily life, and may you bring others to know Jesus Christ, so that they too can have the gift of salvation and the promise of eternal life with God in heaven.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. .org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.